I've got a heavy heart this morning with this message that's on my heart. Turn to the Revelation, please, chapter number 2. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. It's Memorial Day weekend, and it's a weekend that we've set aside to remember those that have given their lives, that we could have the freedoms that we have today. I thought about some this morning, and you may not agree with me. But if somebody comes in here, Brother Houston, wants to stomp on that flag, they're going to have to stomp me first. They've called that freedom of speech. I say hogwash. That flag stands for something. There's been a lot of bloodshed for that flag. Been a lot of bloodshed for that flag. I say, God, give us some men and women that say, if you want to stomp my flag, you're going to have to stomp me first to get to it. Amen. Well, I said that. That's a good start, I guess. Now you kind of know how my heart's leaning today. Amen. I love America. America's got a lot of problems, a lot of ills, and a lot of woes. But if somebody give me a ticket to any country on earth, I'd just give it back to them, say, I'm right where God wants me. How can you do any better than that? I'm in America, and I love America. I want to begin this morning in a message and just see how the Lord leads as far as how we break it down. But I want to look at another church this morning in the book of the Revelation. We brought several messages under the heading John Saul. And then we picked up on a little phrase where the Bible said here, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. And we picked up on that phrase and began a little series of messages entitled John Wrote. He wrote to Ephesus. Last week we saw where he wrote to Smyrna. And this week we're going to see where John writes to the angel of the church in Pergamos. This is in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 2. These things saith he which hath the sharp two edges, the sharp sword with two edges. Really, in my life, as I've studied these churches, I never did pick up on this till this time through. But every time our Lord comes to a new church, he mentions a different aspect of what was mentioned concerning his description in Revelation chapter number 1. And that's interesting to me. You see, the Lord knows what every church needs. I don't know about you, but that comforts my heart concerning our church. He knows what we need. Amen. And he gives us what we need. In verse 13, he said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things. Notice that little phrase right there. Over in Smyrna, the Lord had nothing negative to say about that church. Over in Ephesus, he says, I have somewhat against thee. And here he says, I have a few things against thee. Think about that for just a moment. The Lord, Sister Theresa sang about, that grew the tree, that died on the tree, that bought the church with his own precious blood. He has to come to the church and say, I've got some things, a few things against thee. What the Bible said, he said, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. I want to say this. Those are a few heavy things. This is nothing to be sneezed at, so to speak. He said, so thou also hast them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We covered that back over in the church at Ephesus. Which thing I hate. Repent. I didn't realize this. Here it comes again. Repent or else. Boy, we ought to underscore that in our Bible. God said, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Let's pray together, and we'll get right into the message. Our Father, we're grateful this morning for our visitors that have come this way, for every family that's come this way. God, I know today that, Lord, you didn't come to Pergamos to tickle their ears. God, you had some things that you wanted to deal with. God, it's my prayer today that in the right spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in the spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we could address, Lord, this little portion of Scripture this morning. I pray, God, today that, Lord, you'd help us to ever be thankful. Lord, about every family probably has been touched, Lord, by the life of someone that has given their life. Lord, some at home, some on the foreign soil, that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have today. God, I pray for America. Lord, I know that, Lord, we're a long way down the wrong path. Help us to seek out the old path, our Father, when we find it, to walk therein. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Let me share some things with you this morning, just by way of introduction. Pergamos was the capital city of Asia Minor. It was known for its political power, its intellectual achievement, but it was also known for pagan worship. And so remember that as we go into the message. It was a very wealthy city. They were given to luxury, and they were given to fashion. There was a 2,000 volume library there. Some might think, well, so what? 2,000 volumes in a library. But remember, back then they didn't have a printing press. Remember that it had to be handwritten. So that was some accomplishment to have a library with 2,000 volumes in it. The books were handwritten on parchment and papyrus, and the parchment was developed from animal skins and was much stronger than the papyrus, which was made from reeds. The city was marked by pagan temples and occult worship. I'm not preaching this outline today, but as I thought about it, you could look at their dwelling, you could look at their doctrine, and then you could look at their deliverance if you wanted to go down through looking at the city of Pergamos. Let's spend Memorial Day, and I believe it's fitting to think about what's going on here at Pergamos with what's going on in our country today. Jesus, first of all, the outline is kind of simple, but he commends the church for doing right. He says here, unto the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, and even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. I'll just give you some things real quickly. Number one, he knew their service. He said, I know thy works. I just want to say this to the church at Bible Way. Every time a missionary comes in this church, they leave with a love offering. And they leave with a quilt that our ladies have put together with their own hands. You say, preacher, why would you mention that? Because I'm telling you, there's much service that many know nothing about. He knows about everything that's done for His honor and for His glory. There'll be people in the nursery. There'll be people in the ministries with children. There'll be things going on throughout the Bible school. Some jobs you can see it happening. Some jobs are behind the scenes and you can't see it happening. I want you to know, thank God, our Lord knows about the service. Amen. He said, I know thy service. Watch this now. He knew their service, but He also knew their situation. Brother Griswold, when I wrote those words down, I thought about Brother Davis in the Bronx. His situation is different than our situation. He's up there trying to get the Word of God out in the midst of a bunch of gangs and in the midst of a bunch of violence and a bunch of stuff going on that's so displeasing to God. But you know, God knows our situation. God knows his situation. God knows Brother Jeff's situation in the prison in Pennsylvania. God knows Brother Pridmore's situation in the churches there in Haiti that are raising him. I tell you, it's just good to know that whatever situation the church is in, God knows the situation. Sometimes the pastor doesn't even know the situation. But I tell you, God knows the situation of every one of his churches today. He knew their service. He knew their situation. But then you notice here, he said, you hold fast my name. He knew their steadfastness. He knew that they were not going to be easily deterred, that they had their shoulder to the wheel and they were going to press on for the glory of God. Amen. And he commends them for that. He knew their sacrifice. I'll say a little bit about Antipas. I think I'm saying his name right. I hope I am. But anyway, I studied a little bit. Very, very, very little is known for sure about this martyr. He was, of course, a contemporary of the Apostle John who wrote this book down as God breathed it in his life. Antipas was martyred late in the lifetime of the Apostle John. And there's little else that we know factually. There's some things that are, I guess you would call it tradition, that was held in the Eastern Orthodox Christian Church. They said that he was reported to be a bishop of the Christian Church at Pergamos. He was martyred for his faith because of his consistent, faithful witnessing in the face of all the satanic evil that was there. And someone said this in this tradition that Antipas was advised, Antipas, the whole world is against you. And he replied, then I am against the whole world. That's the kind of man we're talking about. And in tradition, we don't know this as fact, but in tradition, there's a lot of things when you study the Bible out that you find in history that may or may not be. If it's in the Bible, praise God, you can count on it. Amen. We know this man died for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That much we know. But in the tradition, he was supposedly roasted alive in a hollow, life-sized bull, which had a bonfire under its belly because he refused to renounce his faith in Christ. I tell you something right now, to have a faith that would let you sing Amazing Grace while the temperature's being turned up. Hallelujah. And to have your name written, my friend, in the portal of Scripture, because you would not, my friend, reject or refuse the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew their sacrifice, and he knew where Satan was. By the way, he still knows where Satan is. I say this, you don't have to agree with it, but I'll say this, and I'll stand by it. Satan's got a pretty good foothold in our country. God knows where he is. I know he's the prince and the power of the air. I know he walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I know all that. I mentioned our graduates this morning. I tell you how they need prayer. Because I tell you right now, they're fixing to go out into a world
amen, that's not friendly to the gospel. That's not friendly to the Christian. That's not friendly to the truth. Amen. And beloved, God can see them through that situation. He knows where Satan is. By the way, I just wrote this down just in case you didn't know it. He knows everything. He knows everything. Amen. But I'm just giving you in the verse there what he knows. And then, secondly, in the message today, not only does our Lord commend the church for doing right, but our Lord confronts the church with a definite rebuke. I'll say this morning. One thing I love about our church, and I don't say this lightly, I've preached a few times that I thought it was so rough. I don't enjoy it. But whatever God gives me, I have no choice but to preach it. Amen. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe there's still some churches that love Jesus so much that they understand there are times when we must be rebuked. The Bible said that open rebuke is better than secret love. And our Lord loves us. He loves His church. And He's going to come to His church. He's going to rebuke His church. He said, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Let me just say this to you quickly. There's some things that I observe as I look at this passage of Scripture. It wasn't all of them. He said, you've got them there. I don't know a better way to say it, maybe a clique or a little sect of them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. He said, they're there. But he said this. He didn't say, I hold it against them. He said, I hold it against you. Yeah. Sometimes you listen to me. We'll get into this in the next church at Thyatira. They suffered that woman, Jezebel, to teach and to seduce. Sometimes, beloved, listen, God has to rebuke the church, not for what they're doing so much as what they're allowing in their midst. God wants His church to be clean. He wants His church to be holy. And by the way, when you say those two words, it includes the external, but it's much more than the external. What you can see, God wants from His church. So He rebukes them. He said, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now listen, stay with me just a few minutes this morning. I'll have to come back tonight. I know that. There's no way I can cover everything that God's put in my heart. But I want to leave you some things this morning. Brother Jim told me last week, and I'm not saying this to build him up, but he and a group of veterans were over at East Lawn, I believe on Friday, is that right, Brother Jim, placing that flag on the graves of the veterans. It's a huge cemetery. And I don't know where this thought come from, but I believe the Spirit of God spoke to my heart as I studied this message. And I know you can't do that, what I'm about to say. But I believe if you could go through that cemetery and you could interview those men. Are you listening to me? That have given their lives for that flag. And that have given their lives for this country. Have given their lives so that this preacher can stand this morning without fear, without favor, without compromise, and preach the Word of God. I believe if you could go through there and ask them some things, I believe the answer would not be what many think it would be today. Let me give you an example. If you ask that soldier, did you know? I didn't get this from anywhere. I just sat with a computer and wrote down a few things. Soldier, did you know that you were fighting so that? Remember that statement. Did you know that you were fighting so that? Drugs and beer and liquor could destroy the fabric of the families in America? Did you know Mr. Soldier, that you were fighting so that gambling would be legal all across America? Did you know that you were fighting so that the lives of the unborn would be taken all across America by the millions? How many sees where I'm going with this? How many believes that soldier would sit up and say, "No, sir, I didn't realize that's what I was fighting for"? Let me tell you something. Freedom is wonderful, but with freedom comes responsibility. Let me tell you something about America. When we totally and completely reject this old book, that's where we're headed. I'll give you some things in a moment. We're going to be in deep trouble. Deep trouble. We already are. Mr. Soldier, did you know that you were fighting so that marijuana would be accepted and legalized in some states? Did you know that you were fighting so that 50% of the country would be supported by the other 50%, even though they will not work? Mr. Soldier, did you know that you were fighting so that policemen would be endangered by the very people that they seek to protect? The phrase came to my mind, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. I'll say this, there's some things in this country that needs to be fried, but it's not the policemen of America. You say, "Preacher, you act angry." I am angry. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Jesus was angry when he went into the temple. And beloved, we should not, my friend, sit still and not be angry at what's going on in this great nation that we live in. I thought about Brother Jim, and Brother Jim, if you could ask that soldier every time you put a flag down, did you know? Did you know that you were fighting so that borders in our country no longer mean anything? You can come illegal, stay illegal, and kill the legal. I'm going to tell you something right now. You do a little bit of research. Kate's Law. Kate Steinle was killed in the sanctuary city in California. When you can't get a law like Kate's Law passed in the United States of America that says if you come here illegally and you're deported and you come back, you're going to prison for 5 years. When you can't get that passed in America, we're in bad shape. That man had been deported 5 times before he took the life of that innocent young woman. You say, "Well, preacher, you got no business being angry." I guarantee you wouldn't if it's your daughter. Or Brother Jeff, if it was your daughter-in-law that caught the bullet from such as that. Soldier, did you know that you were fighting so that men could marry men and women could marry women? I will tell you what, if this sermon don't do nothing else to us this morning, it ought to cause this altar to fill up. It ought to cause me and Bob to get down here and pray together and say, "Oh God, would you spare America for Olivia? Oh God, would you spare the nation that we love? Lord, would you turn us around some way, somehow? Help us." Mr. Soldier, did you know you were fighting so that people can use the bathroom of their choice, regardless of whether they are male or female? Mr. Soldier, did you know that you were fighting so that the history of our great nation could be disregarded by the professors of higher learning and replaced with a distorted view of our country? I'll get into something here in a minute. You'll understand where that come from. They're not teaching history anymore. They're teaching history as they want to see it. Mr. Soldier, did you know that that view would be distorted of our country and our God and our purpose in the world? I just try to pray and seek the mind of God. I don't know what to preach. It's Memorial Day, and I was looking at this church anyway and studying this doctrine of Balaam. I'll get into it more tonight, but what it is a doctrine of compromise. Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam could not and would not curse Israel. Now, up to that point, it makes him sound like a pretty good fella. We'll get into it tonight. So what he did, according to the Bible right here, let's look at it together right here, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Instead of cursing them, he taught the king of Moab how to corrupt them. You say, Pastor, I thought about some of you all. I'm telling my age right here. Some of you all remember it like it was yesterday. There was a commercial that came out and it had a woman with a cigarette about that long, and it was for Virginia Slims. And it said, "You've come a long way, baby, to get where you got to today." How many remembers that? Would you throw your hand up? We've come a long way. The wrong way. We've come a long way, the wrong way, in our country. I want to give you something in closing this morning just to get you to think about this doctrine of Balaam and how things have been distorted through the years. I want to read this. I would have not known this until I did the research. Has anyone ever heard of Benjamin Rush? Has anyone ever heard of Benjamin Rush? Well, let me say this. This will spark your interest. He was the father of the public schools under the Constitution. He was the signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was the Surgeon General of the Continental Army. He was a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. He was the father of American medicine and treasurer of the U.S. Mint. The man wore some pretty big britches, didn't he? Had a lot of hats that he was wearing. Listen to what Benjamin Rush said. And may God call us to prayer. He said, "The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rules for just conduct in every situation of life. Happy they who are enabled to obey them in all situations. My only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God, manifested to the world by the death of His Son upon the cross. Nothing but His blood will wash away my sin. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." He quotes Revelation 22:20. He said, "I do not believe that the Constitution was the offspring of inspiration." I like that. He made a difference, Brother Grizzle, between the Constitution and the Bible. He's saying, hey, we weren't divinely inspired. Now listen to the statement. He said, "I do not believe the Constitution was the offspring of inspiration, but I am as satisfied that it is much a work of divine providence as any of the miracles recorded in the Old and the New Testament. By renouncing the Bible, philosophers swing from their moorings upon all moral subjects. It is the only correct map of the human heart that has ever been published. The greatest discoveries in science have been made by Christian philosophers, and there is the most knowledge in those countries where there is the most Christianity. The only means of establishing and perpetuating our republican forms of government is the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible. The great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible in school. Christianity is the only true and perfect religion. And in proportion as mankind adopts its principles and obey its precepts, they will be wise and happy. The Bible contains more knowledge necessary to man in his present state than any other book in the world. The Bible, when not read in schools, is seldom read in any subsequent period of life. The Bible should be read in our schools in preference to all other books because it contains the greatest portion of that kind of knowledge which is calculated to produce private and public happiness. That doesn't sound like anything you'd hear coming from Washington, D.C. today, does it? I'm going to tell you something right now. This country, it is a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie that this country was not founded upon Judeo-Christian principles and this blessed old book that I've got in front of me. It was founded. Tonight, I'll go back, God helping me, look at some of the things that our early presidents said. It's Memorial Day. I don't believe we should forget the price that's been paid so that we can have spiritual freedom. That's what Sister Theresa was singing about at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, carried not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. No blessed day, one day he came to me. Yes, he did. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. He showed me how good I was at sinning. Thank God he didn't stop there. He showed me how great he was at saving sinners. He took me and washed me in his own precious blood. And I'm determined. The church at Pergamos compromised. They were putting up with some things, allowing that to go on in the church. I want to say to our deacons this morning, I don't believe we've got one deacon that would put up with such things. I'm so glad. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. Cancer's bad. Let me tell you something that's worse than cancer. Sin. Cancer will eat up the flesh, but sin will eat up the spirit of a man, the inside of a man. So on this Memorial Day, it's in my heart to challenge us. Jesus, he commended the church. Jesus, he confronted the church. Let me ask you something. Stay with me just a minute. I don't know anything like this. I don't know anything, or I wouldn't mention it. I wouldn't even mention an example. But you moms, if you went in your daughter's bedroom and you found something that wasn't supposed to be there, would you just put it back, cover it up? Or would you confront her with it? You dads, if you went in your son's bedroom and there's something that wasn't supposed to be there, would you just put it back, cover it up? Oh, that's just part of being a youngin'. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a sin. If it ain't supposed to be there, amen, it's a sin. And we ought to love them enough. We ought to do it right. I wish I'd have learned, Brother David, about these churches. How that Jesus would always set them down, tell them what they're doing right first. I wish when I had to get on my youngins, especially the first two, I'd learned a lot by the second two. But I wish when I had to get on them, Brother Rose, about something that I could have set them down and told them how proud I was of them. And the things that they were doing right before I had to address what they were doing wrong. I tell you what, you and I better be glad of as Christians, that our Lord don't jerk us up with a stick the first time we do something wrong. And he didn't do that to the church at Pergamos either. He said, come here, youngins. I know some things. I know your works. I know about Antipas. He's given his life. I know how y'all been steadfast. You've stayed by the stuff. But he said, got a few things here I need to deal with. Got a few things I need to deal with. Let me say this to you, and I say it humbly. I believe we have a church that if something needs to be dealt with, we want it dealt with. I believe we have that kind of church. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But that's what I believe as a pastor in my heart. In 3 years, we've had to have different parents come to us or different ones come to us about this situation or that situation. Hey, it don't do no good to sweep them under the rug. And in our country, we better quit sweeping it under the rug. We better just stand up. Stand up. It's time we the people, the songwriter said, stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back, Brother Houston, and fight for what's right in this country again. I appreciate Brother Jim, all those men and perhaps some women also in the cemetery there that have given their lives. We could have this freedom this morning. He said, preacher, what are you going to do if I ever tell you you can't preach like that anymore? I'm going to preach like that some more. I'll just have to pay a big price for it. But by the grace of God, I'm going to preach like that some more. Amen. I believe that's one of the things that's went wrong in our country. God's men stopped crying aloud, spare not, lifting up their voice like a trumpet, telling the house of Israel their transgressions and God's people their sins. Right? I believe that's one of the things that's went wrong in the country. May the Lord help us this morning. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to sin. You could look down and you don't see any handcuffs. You don't see any shackles, but they're there. If you're not saved, you're shackled by sin. I was telling Dylan this morning, I've been meditating all week on that statement. When people get saved, they say some amazing things. Dylan looked over at me and said, I've been wanting this a long time. Hallelujah. I told him this morning about the little 12-year-old girl, Lakin, in Southern Illinois, is preaching revival. Lakin's papa, on the way to the restaurant after church, said, Lakin, what was it like when you got saved this morning, honey? And Lakin didn't hesitate. She said, Papa, it was like the cold went out and the warm came in. I say amen. I could have never thought that up. But I tell you, that night when he saved me, the cold went out and the warm came in. The love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I appreciate your time this morning. Not near enough time to go in the depth that we wanted to, but we'll come back tonight and dive in again. See where God will take us. Amen. Let's not forget. You see, if we forget, we'll be in bondage again. That's what happened to Israel. They forgot. They got to playing around with Balak and Moab. And the first thing you know, Brother Steve, they had escaped the bondage of Egypt. They're right back in the bondage of sin. God had to chasten them. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here this morning. God, my heart breaks for our country. My heart breaks for our children, our grandchildren. My heart breaks, our Lord. Lord, the change, many of it,
Many of the changes have just come subtly down through the years. But Lord, it seems like anymore, every time you turn the news on, something else ungodly is being approved of. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us?